This semester on the Church 307 podcast, we're just going to meet some people, some real life people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. So sit back and hear some great stories. I am sitting here with Cassie Mason. Many of you know Cassie. Cassie's been a New Lifer for a while now. And do you know how long?
We have lived in Gillette for 13 and a half years. Mm-hmm. We probably started coming occasionally 2 to 3 years into that.
Okay.
But I would say that we've been full time for 6 years.
Yeah. You guys were one of those that went from, I barely know you, you just show up on Sundays, to you're involved in everything. Yeah. Kind of overnight.
Yeah. Full send is everything. Yeah. In our life.
Yeah. Yeah. You're kind of all in type people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to do something 100% and we're going to show up 45 minutes early. Well, I'm not. Grant is.
Yeah.
And it's 100% or 0% for us.
I love it. So your husband is Grant.
Yep.
And you have, tell us about your kids.
4 kids. Yeah. Girl, girl, girl. And that fourth one was a boy. It's not third time's a charm. It's fourth time's a charm. So Natalie's 15 and a freshman. Lucy is 12, a sixth grader. Corey is 9 and she's a third grader. And Will is 7 and a first grader.
Love it. Yeah. We're going to focus on your story today, primarily the spiritual part of your story and how God drew you to himself and how you started a relationship with him. But you could you kind of give us the 1 minute version of who you are? What home did you grow up in? Did you grow up going to church and those type of details?
Yeah. So I grew up in small town, South Dakota, Belle Fourche. We lived across the street from the Lutheran church. My grandma was one of those good Norwegians. So she was born and baptized and confirmed and married in the Lutheran church. And so was my mom. And I was as well. And after school, like, our house was just the meeting place. I grew up with my mom and dad. I have a little sister, grew up in the same town as both my grandparents. I knew multiple sets of great grandparents. And I never realized that there was something different. Like, we just went to church. Mm-hmm. That's just what it was. I am cautious saying this out loud to too many people, but I also play the piano. Mm-hmm. And so Lutheran churches are often looking for Saturday night service pianist. And so I kind of got roped into that at my church in Belle Fourche. And then a Spearfish Lutheran church figured that out. And so I went there. I was confirmed as a Lutheran, and then the Wesleyan Church in Belle Fourche was looking for a pianist. And so for the next 8 years, I went and played the piano at the Wesleyan Church in Belle Fourche every single Sunday.
I did not know that.
So all through high school, all through college, I went to college in Spearfish at Black Hills State. And so I drove back to Belle Fourche every Sunday. And I didn't ever realize there was something else, because my grandparents went to church. My Finkbeiner grandparents are very spiritual people. And so it was just part of life. Mm. There wasn't ever anything different.
Yeah. So was there ever a period in your story where you rebelled against God or you
Absolutely.
Left the church? When was that?
So I was getting close to graduation and I didn't really know what I was going to do from college. And so I had stepped back from playing the church or playing for the church in Belle Fourche. And after I went to work, after I graduated from college, I went to work for Budweiser. And I'm pretty sure that probably played a part in it. And I had adult money and I could do whatever I wanted. And there was not time or priority in my life for church. And I mean, I wouldn't say that like I ever like completely went off the deep end and said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. It just wasn't a priority in my life. And then on my 25th birthday, I had a positive pregnancy test and Grant and I doubled down and we said, OK, well, we're going to do this and we're going to raise our kids in the church. And so we were living in Belle Fourche at the time and we went to every single church in Belle Fourche. He was brought up Methodist. And so we did not go to the Catholic Church or the Jehovah Witness Church in Belle Fourche. Mm. But we went to every other single church in Belle and we landed at the United Church of Christ. And when we were in Belle, that's where we went. And then we moved over to Gillette and we still went back to Belle Fourche a lot. I would say that first year that we lived here, we were over there almost every single weekend and still going. And then we kept having kids, and that became harder and harder. And so at the time, I had a friend who had a mom's life group here at New Life. And so I started attending that. And this was early on when we first lived here. And just slowly, we stopped going back to Bell as much, and we were here more on the weekends. And then, like I said, we just kind of went full send in a New Life.
You said when you figured out you're going to have your first child.
Yeah.
You decided that you were going to raise that child in the church. Yeah. What was that decision process? Like, why was that a priority?
I think for Grant and I, like both, like he's, you know, I mean, he's got his parents that he grew up with and three sisters and his grandparents around. And I think he would probably say the same thing. There was never life without church. And we both just agreed that like, we wanted our kids to have good moral background and community and family outside of us. And there wasn't even really discussion about it. Like it was just, okay, we're going to have a baby. This is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to find a place for us because we know that we're going to fall short of moral, you know, morals giving to our kids and all that kind of stuff and whatever. And so we knew that there was something else that we needed to come alongside of us to help with that. And that's kind of really what brought us back.
So your pregnancy was an unplanned pregnancy.
100%.
And I don't know how you felt about that or how did you feel about when you found out you were pregnant?
Same thing. Like it was just, I mean, I was 25, Grant was 26. We had both graduated from college. We both had jobs. There was never any discussion about it. It was just full send. Mm. We're here. We're going to have a baby. We're going to get married. It was important for both of us that, you know, our family had the same last name. And so we did things backwards. We got pregnant, then we got married, and then we had a baby. But it was just, we're adults. This is where we are. I often tell people that Jesus and I have like a real joking relationship because mm-hmm. I'm a planner. I have a planner physically all with me at all time. I have a 1-hour plan, a 5-year plan, a 50-year plan. Like I am a planner. And every time I do that, Jesus goes, that's cute. I love that for you. And yeah. So, but there was never any discussion about it. It was just, we're here in this situation and we're going to go with it. And this is probably where we should be and what we should be doing. And so we're going to do the best that we can with it. And almost 16 years later and a couple more kids in a minivan, you know, here we are.
And it sounds like God used the unplanned pregnancy to kind of draw you back to him because that was kind of in a season when you were not prioritizing a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. I tell Natalie all the time that she is my favorite mistake. and she knows that I say that lovingly, like she doesn't take that offensively. Mm-hmm. But now having a 15-year-old daughter and having been a 15-year-old girl before, like I can't even begin to comprehend like how blessed I am to have these children that are happy and healthy and seemingly normal and active. And, that was really probably the biggest turning point in my life was having Natalie.
Yeah. Was there ever a time in your relationship with God that you doubted him, that you considered turning your back on him, or maybe you doubted his love for you?
No. And let me rephrase this question for you. Was there ever a time in my life where I doubted the church or I doubted the church's love for me? 100%. I would say that my issues have never been with Jesus or with God or anything like that. But I have gone through real struggles with the church. I have a very strong personality, I am told. And so I ask a lot of questions and that did not go well for me when I was in confirmation and in other churches and whatever. And so it was never with God. I never doubted that even though it was different than my plan, that he had a plan. It was just, it was always with the church and the people in the church. And I don't think you ever get away from that. I think it's a maturity thing though, that you just kind of start to figure out that you're going to have that in no matter what group of people you're going to have.
Yeah. You've described involvement in a wide ranging type of church. Like Lutherans are very much different than New Lifers or Wesleyans and Methodists and all these
and
in
the
between.
UCC is like crazy radical for Christianity.
Yeah. So when you say you had struggles with the church, was it a specific denomination of the church?
No, I spread that struggle equally amongst all of them.
Yeah.
And even here, like, I mean, if we're being honest, like, I mean, I haven't not had it here either, right? But I think the biggest changing point for me on that and just seeing that differently and seeing people differently and seeing the church differently, the infamous Sarah McCormick one time said to me that people are messy. Mm-hmm. And I've never related to something so much in my life. I am messy, like by nature.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was about her saying that to me that it just clicked. And I've been able to approach church differently by looking at it through those glasses of people are messy. And that's what makes it beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, people will always fail us and will always cause us to doubt. Is there somebody in a church that has played a key role in helping your spiritual, in helping you deepen your relationship with Jesus?
By far, my grandma Nina. Mm-hmm. And she actually went to a different church than I did when I was growing up and we were in the same town. But she's just always been the matriarchy that just took care of everybody and loved everybody. She was a drug and alcohol counselor growing up when I was growing up. And I look back now and the way she was able to pour love into people, through her Christian faith is outstanding. She was like the angel tree coordinator when I was growing up. I always helped her with that. She just continuously pours love into people.
Very cool. Can you describe your life group involvement since you've been here at New Life?
Oh, they're my favorites. So we started in a new to New Life life group. Well, I did the mom's life group, but it was really before like heavy involvement in the church. And so when we really started, Richard and Chris Dickey had a new to New life group. Mm-hmm. And we went to that. And I would say that was really the turning point of our relationship with New Life. And I still just love them. And we have lifelong friends that we have come from that. And so we really wanted to get into a couples life group and they're kind of a hot commodity. And for a couple of semesters, they weren't open. And so finally we just said, forget it. We just, you know, we'll do our own. And so we made our own couples life group, being very unworthy to be life group leaders, especially to other married couples. You know, some have been married longer than us. Some have been married shorter than us. But we did it. And so those are our people. We share excitement and heartbreak and life with them. And I just can't even imagine. And then probably a year and a half ago, I joined a women's life group, also Chris Dickey's life group.
Cool.
We just had dinner last night and I love it because, like if we always go out to celebrate everybody's dinner or for everybody's birthday and, it's dinner at Encanto. And like those dinners generally involve margaritas and chips and salsa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so it's just like everyday people that have the same struggles and the same everything as us. And there's nothing that makes me feel like they're superior, you know, that they're holier than I am, you know, that they've got this all figured out. Like we are all messy people and we share that all together. And I can't imagine my life without these 24 people in it, which is a lot.
That's a big group,
Yeah, I mean, there's 10 women in our life group and we have 7 couples. And so it's a lot, but they are mine forever, whether or not they like it.
That's the same group. The one you said you started the group, that's been the same group ever since you started it.
We've had some come and go. We've had one couple move away. We've added a couple along the way. But it's been our same core group. I think there's 4 of us couples that have been in it from the start. And so, yeah. And I think that we last added our last couple this last semester.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been the same core group.
What do you guys do for discussions or for activities? What does your normal life group layout look like?
Well, in our couples group, we were actually discussing this for our women's life group last night about possibly giving our testimonies. And so this was a couple semesters ago. And so our couples life group did that. And we spent the entire semester doing that. We all gave our testimony and I learned things about people that I thought I knew very well. And it was eye-opening. Like, this is how you know people on a deeper level. And I'm hopeful that, you know, plug for Chris Dickey, that we do that for our women's group.
Yeah.
This last semester, we've done a lot of the sermon notes, but a couple of semesters ago, not for me personally, but was going through, a struggle. My little sister, my only sister, my baby sister, like I am the big sister. I am the protector. Had gone through a divorce for reasons not for her own problems. And so I wanted to double down on this. It was a hard time in my marriage because I was angry and resentful. And unfortunately, Grant took a lot of that. And so I wanted to go through the top 10 reasons for divorce in marriages. And so we spent 10 weeks talking about the top 10 reasons for divorce.
Very cool.
And, you know, I mean, I don't think any of us are on the brink of divorce in our marriage or in our couples group, but we talked about those things and how they affect our lives every day and how finances and getting on the same level and stepping out on relationships has long-lasting effects, not on us, but on the people around us and kids. And how do we avoid those things? And how do we make our marriages stronger so that we don't go through these things?
Yeah.
So we've kind of run the gamut of it.
Very cool. One last question.
Okay.
If there is one lesson or one truth about God that you would like to share with people, you feel like something that people need to know, what would that be?
Just that no matter what, like, he has a plan for us. And the plan isn't always pretty, and it's not always flat, and it's not always level. But there is a plan, right? And if you're a type B person, you're like, I don't need a plan. There is one for you, right? And if you're a type A person like me that already has your own plan, it's cute. I love that for you. But there is a different plan for you. And so the struggles and the heartbreak and bad things that happen to us are all part of it, because you can't enjoy the really great things that happen in your life if you don't know what it's like to have to suffer through the really bad things in your life. And I think it makes the highs that much higher, having to go through those valleys, and that no matter what, you know, he's got a plan for you.
Yeah.
And he's got a plan for me, even if I don't like it.
You said you're a planner.
You said yes.
God has a plan for you. What is it like when you don't know God's plan for you, or you don't know the next step?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Blatantly. Yeah. You know, when Grant's gone for work, I often say that I'm currently planning the next 37 minutes of my life. And even if it's just the next 37 minutes, right? Like, I've got this, and it's great. And like you said, I think that Jesus and I really have a sense of humor with each other, about just as soon as I set something in place, he laughs and goes, that's cute. But we're not going to do that. And so, and I think it's just age and maturity, to go, okay. I actually, one of my Facebook memories came up from, just like a year or two ago. And I had said, you know, dear 7-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus. I know that the last time I said, you know, that I was overwhelmed and the kids were too much and, you know, I needed one less school project or one less game to go to or one less practice or whatever it was. I'm like, you sent COVID and just shut everything down. And just upended my entire world, because as much as I love my children, being at home with them full time is not something that I aspire to have in my life. And so I put that on Facebook, and I love that because I don't know what was happening in my life at that time, but I was clearly overwhelmed, and there was insurance claims and a kitchen remodel or, you know, whatever to go through. And I'm like, okay, I can stop. I know that this is a busy season. but I can remember that it can always be worse, yep. right? I can yep. be doing like art projects on my window in my living room with my children for homeschool art class because now I was their teacher. And so I often need those reminders that like, I know it's stressful today, but it was worse 2 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you know? And so it's just one step at a time, take a step back. What are the next 37 minutes going to look like? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be okay.
Yeah. That's really good. Cassie, thanks for taking the time,
yeah,
hanging out with us. Thanks for everything you do at New Life and yeah. leading the life group and everything else you do. So
yeah,
we appreciate and you.
Know that everybody says it, but like, if you're not in a life group, you should get in one because,
yes.
We're not perfect and we are messy and there sometimes are margaritas and that's okay.
Yeah.
To just do life in general with people. And it's probably at this point, I would say like the thing that is really why we are at life group or why we are at New Life is because of life groups and our people. And we can show up to brunch on Saturday at 10:30 in sweatpants and your hair in a ponytail. And it's okay because yeah. that's what we do together.
Before you have a relationship, you don't recognize that you need the relationship all the time until you have the relationship and you start thinking, what did I do without it? Like, right. what did I do without this person in my life?
Right.
And the problem is so many of us don't realize what we're missing out on before we actually begin the relationships. And that's really what life groups is I will put myself out there and I'm going to start some relationships. Some of right. them, I'm going to end up being really close with them. Others of them, I'm not going to get along with them that great, right. but I'm going to put myself out there and begin these.
I even say that about Grant and it probably drives him crazy, but I always say like, I didn't need a man, right? Like mm-hmm. I chose you, or God chose you for me. And so, but now it's like looking back, like, I don't know what my life would look like without him. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know where I would have ended up. Like, I don't know. I can't imagine life without these four kids. I can't imagine life without Grant. And you're exactly right. Like you get into these life groups and you're like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, sit here and just be here.
Yeah.
And then you look back at it a couple of years later and you're like, I can't imagine my life without these people in it. Like, I don't even know what I did without them.
Yeah. That is the church.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.